Thank you, Lord, for the encouraging vision of what it's going to be like the day after we return to our missions on earth. Dear ones, Ezekiel had an amazing dream, and this happens quite a bit with him. He goes through difficult and painful things, but then the Lord gives him these beautiful experiences, heavenly experiences and visions. But this one is about the day after the tribulation, when we return to work with the Lord. He had just sent us back to earth, I presume, and we were living in a small colony of people who were in transition. Now, please don't take this super literally. There are still things in this dream that don't line up with Scripture, but this is a dream, not Scripture, so please take everything with a grain of salt. What I do believe it is a foretaste of what we will be experiencing when we return with our glorified bodies. In the dream, people were still not totally glorified. Who knows? Maybe there are stages that we're not aware of. Perhaps even a stage that has to do with preparation for working on earth. I don't know, but I believe the Lord is sharing it with us for an encouragement that there is a new earth coming, a purified earth where evil does not exist. In this dream, I was in plain clothes, but different people were transitioned into glorious bodies. Who knows? Maybe one of you were in the dream with stars and lights adorning your body. It really was encouraging to hear. So enjoy. By the way, there are a couple of clumsy edits in this version that got cut out when I was training someone to help me edit. So forgive me if I have to put a few words in here and there. Don't let that mess up the continuity of the dream. It really is quite amazing.
We found ourselves in almost a virgin land. The land had been cleared for miles and hewn into rows of rich alluvial light brown soil. And there were these pristine, clean, fresh garden plants, vegetables, food gardens, just coming up maybe even 3-4 inches, maybe bigger, so maybe some of them were up to a foot. But they were so clean all around. It wasn't a weed in miles. The air was fresh and clean. And there were these, they almost looked like, you know what a Quonset hut is? The old army barracks looking thing?
Yeah.
Greenhouse looking things. There were these really nice new dwellings that were kind of like that, that were translucent. So you couldn't just see right in them other than just, you know, forms and figures. But they let this beautiful, fresh, new day, like almost Eden sunlight in. Of all people, John was there, and he was younger again. His hair was short and neat, but he had been through a lot of breaking. In fact, he was very meek, almost shy when he talked, very quiet and shy. But he was walking around kind of like a little boy that was just kind of helping other people, you know, find their rooms and stuff. And he'd see all these different people gloriously transformed, and he'd kind of sigh a little bit, but he was really happy for him. And, you know, he kind of deep, secretly in the depths of his heart wished that he could be like that. And they were heavenly transformed. I mean, these were like glorified bodies. So he and I walked for just a little bit outside and were talking, and he walked over to the side and showed me a mound with a gravestone, and it was
his wife's
grave. She had died some years earlier. Then when he took me back in, he showed me where she lived in this transitory place, and it was very nice, and she was wearing white, not real shiny and everything, but she was, you know, happy and at peace. And then he kind of wandered off, and I started walking down one of the corridors. This brilliant light was coming out of one of the spacious rooms on the right. I looked inside, and there was a full altar, and there was a beautiful, the most beautiful priest I ever saw in my life. He turned around, and his hair was long and blonde. His vestments were pinkish orange, really reddish orange, but brilliant and gold. Inlay trim, everything, all over. I mean, you had to have a grace for your eyes to be able to see him. And he turned around from the altar and spread his arms in a welcoming gesture, acknowledging me. Mm-hmm. He didn't ask me to come in, but he slightly bowed. And I thought, oh my Lord, who is this saint? Because obviously they were glorified and they were heavenly. Mm-hmm. And either the Lord or the Holy Spirit spoke in my ear and said, that's Melchizedek.
Mm, wow.
And you're a priest forever in his line. Mm. And then Melchizedek spoke. He said, remember, you're a priest like Melchizedek forever. Mm. And he turned back with a sweet smile. He turned back around. Then I noticed that I was beginning to glow and shine and let off this heavenly light that seemed to transfer from him to me, this glorious, glorified light. And I knew by the Holy Spirit that we had been called there. And I asked somebody, and I knew you were there and just around the corner. And I saw different people that literally would go on the way to their room or whatever and their transition being transformed without dying from their human physical body to their glorified body. And you could always tell somebody who was either from heaven or already or in transition being glorified because they had these beautiful crown of stars. Here, 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 one here, one. I mean, they're just illuminated, and they were beautiful little, you know, those pieces of clear, almost monofilament line that stick out of things, and the light's on, and they're different colors? A lot like that, you know, and they have the little bead on the end that's like a little shiny, like your hair untangler. And they just had, oh man, they just had this beautiful look about their face.
Was this a conference or what?
No. Out of the left of my eye, I could hear the drone of a crowd, but they were people that were on the move. They were off to my left, and there were hundreds, thousands of people in mass migrating past us, looking our way and grumbling, complaining, and, you know, just cursing. And they didn't look damned, they didn't look rotten and poor, they just looked like regular people out in the world. And that's exactly what they were. They were people who had chosen to stay in the world. They wanted the world. So they were still wandering. But obviously a cataclysmic change had happened on the earth, because I asked someone, where are we? And they said, oh, we're just outside of Alaska. I said, what? He said, yeah, we're one of the first settlements on the new earth. And the other people that you see they're right on the edge, and they're headed for perdition. You know, complaining and grumbling the whole way, but still looking and grabbing and snatching anything they could on the way. There was a highway way in the distance, and the people on the far edge of this massive crowd of people were trying to get back up on that highway, and anything they could grab and take down, if it was a road sign or what, they were grabbing whatever they could from the world to keep it. Their avarice had grown to that point. And it was very sparse. I mean, everything had been blown away in the process of being purified, and that's why the land was so
barren.
It wasn't barren. It was like it was just coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, because there were no trees. All there were was these young grasses for miles and miles, and maybe further toward the highway, and the other side was still burnt and scorched. But in order not to spoil it for the people in the new earth and the settlement, it was too far away. We couldn't really see that, and we really didn't care to see it. We were so caught up in this glorious presence of the Lord. And I walked back into the hall, and John, there's still, you know, plain earth clothes and his like tunic top and his, but still a real sheepish, shy little boy character to his whole personality had changed. And he walked me down, only three rooms down from Melchizedek, across the hall. And there was a sweet, sweet little room, like the this was a brand new beginning. Mm. I mean, the very first colony on the new earth.
Oh, so we were coming, we'd come back
right.
from heaven.
No. Some had come back from heaven. Some were on the earth and preserved during this tribulation and trial by fire and all this. They had come out. You remember how the scriptures talk about those who come out of the tribulation and wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll never again have pain or sorrow, or whatever. Now, I'm not saying we'll be here through the tribulation, but somehow we were there during the changeover or brought back during God. But the thing is, we were in plain clothes, a regular clothes, so I figured there was no sense at all that we had ever died. You know, maybe we'd been raptured earlier and came back down and, you know.
We were in plain clothes?
We were in simple, clean, nice, just short sleeve, not patterns or anything, but like just like a nice pastel color, light, bright. Pretty, beautiful, soft. So he walks me across the hall from Melchizedek, kind of put his left arm, you know, just courteously behind my back and put his right arm out, like, you know.
Here's another one undergoing transition.
And the door was about halfway open, and when I swung it open,
a woman was sitting
on a beautiful, beautiful white, bluish pink decor, sitting on a white, the whitest pillow top, fluffy, satiny mattress spread comforter I'd ever seen.
And they
were emanating the most brilliant light. They had stars on top of stars on top of stars, several crowns of stars interweaving. Face, even, that it was like a star in a They weren't glitter, and they weren't gold. It was like star fleck material. Whole body was, whole clothing, everything was just luminous.
Wow.
Absolutely heavenly. Looked like the vision of an angel.
Wow.
And it puzzled me because I'd see other people with different, real light pastel, translucent, glowing light colors, you know. One would emit like a real soft baby blue light with these brilliant little white stars here and there around their face and head. They were all beautiful colors, but very soft and heavenly. And I remember telling John, all these other people are so beautiful.
Yeah.
And he said, you haven't seen yourself yet. You don't know.
Wow.
You don't know what you are yet.
Then Claire caught up with me.
And you just looked up and you smiled real sweetly and very lovingly. There was no distance between us. There was the same deep love and affection that we've always had together on the earth. And the feeling was that these rooms and these places on the new earth, as everything began to grow and come back Eden-like, it's almost like the Lord was just doing the creation all over again, you know, where he spoke out and didn't see any animals, I didn't see any waters, I didn't see anything other than a beautiful, brand new, just a slight heavenly mist, not fire,
yeah,
heavenly mist coming up off the grasses that were just starting to come up and off of these beautiful crops. It's like the sun, and I guess on the new earth, maybe we'll still have a sun, new moon, new this, new that. In heaven, the light will be from him. Oh, yeah, the feeling was that even as we were speaking, even as these things were going on, the masses of people that were marching, wandering in mass, millions, veering off to the left away from us, looked like a concentration camp march. Although they were still in their regular earth clothes and stuff. They weren't necessarily dim or shabby or what. They were just, you know, the upper middle class and wealthy people and middle class people of the world.
Did you recognize anybody?
Not a soul. What I did recognize was their scorn and contempt for us and everything. They were kind of like the fox, you know, the sour grapes.
Oh.
Well, they were probably sour anyway, because he couldn't reach them, right?
Right.
They knew they'd missed it. They didn't care, really. They didn't want it anyway. They were They were jealous and envious, but they knew they couldn't have it, so they just grumbled and complained and grabbed any vestige they thought they could pick up of what might be left, because they were insatiably overwhelmed with greed and avarice and a desire for the world and the things of the world. Even though knowing that they're en masse being marched to wherever they were going to be
tried or something.
Yeah, wherever they were going to be judged, tried, and, you know, sent.
Well, John Michael said it was perdition.
Yeah, it was hell. It was hell. I mean, they knew they'd missed it. They knew they were headed for hell. They didn't care. They were just going to grab every little drop of anything they could off the earth before they got there. And grinding and gnashing their teeth and grumbling, complaining, and some were cursing about us, you know. In the environment, it seemed like there were maybe like 20 people or so, right, in this around these Quonset hut things. But they were really glorified transitional room housing type of things, you know. They were temporary, but they were beautiful and heavenly. It was just beautiful. And not a speck, not a spot. Even though we were surrounded by grasses and gardens that were just starting to come up, and these gardens, there was as much pristine, brand new, beautiful, rich, light to medium tan fertile soil, to golden brown soil, impeccable rows that went on for miles. And each one had these beautiful, fresh food crops. Every kind of food, vegetable you can imagine. The little berry bushes and things like, you know, little fruits and things. But like I said, there were no trees yet. The trees hadn't even started to come back yet. It was that fresh. And there was still a slight heavenly, fresh, dew-kissed mist just coming up off of things. About
wow.
A
well, that
few
has to
inches.
Be when we return then from heaven, it's when the Lord sends
I guess so, and I just didn't recognize myself or what was going on. There were other people in the compound that weren't yet glorified, but they were beautiful, and they were clean, and they had really nice, neat, pastel, soft clothing on, you know, short-sleeved shirts and pants, and everyone's hair was... Everybody was just so soft and clean, and they were in transition. They were just about to be transferred into their glorified body. And they were scattered among and settled in and around and with the glorified persons in these places. Some were walking the grounds outside and admiring the gardens, and just the awe, the absolute innocence, pristine, newborn, baby, newborn innocence.
So the Quonset huts, you said, were clear, like greenhouses.
Yeah, but they weren't made of an earthly material. They were made out of some material from heaven, because they were all white. They were all pristine. I mean, almost untouchable, heavenly. Before I had the dream, I heard the scripture, "Look on, you scoffers, and be amazed. I'm doing a new thing. See, it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" That verse kept going through my head over and over and over. While you guys were in there watching the movie, I was trying to pray behind you so that they'd get the movie and whatever. Praying behind you with the verse going through my head. "Look on, you scoffers, and be amazed. See, I'm doing a new thing. You would not have believed it if someone had told you. Do you not perceive it?" And I drifted off after I couldn't fall asleep till like noon. I think it was the Lord that woke me up, that got me up at like 5 something or whatever. And because I woke up, I heard you guys. But as soon as you guys left the room to go for the movie, I started praying for you and drifted right back off to sleep into this dream. And it was like 7 hours. And it was the first day of the regeneration. I mean, the first hours. That's why things hadn't come up too far. The Lord was just beginning to recreate the whole earth. And we were the first three
greenhouses,
beautiful, translucent dwellings. And we were the first.
They were like this shape, like semicircles.
Yeah, and they were. But inside, everything was
square.
Square, just like a normal house and room.
But were they skylit from the up? So mm-hmm. the rooms were skylit.
When he said we're just outside of Alaska, I said, oh my gosh, we should be freezing right now. What's going on? Uh-huh. And without even giving him a chance to answer, I thought out loud, oh my Lord, the earth must have...
The poles have shifted.
The poles, that's exactly what I said. The poles have shifted. Then I had the sense that the whole earth was just subtropical, but it wasn't humid and sticky. It wasn't dry and hot. Everything was just brand new, like the Lord God had just breathed it out of his nostrils. It just breathed it out of his being. It is interesting, you know, it does talk about the new creation, mm-hmm. the new heaven and the new earth. It was as if it were the first hours of the creation story all over again.
Well, so everyone there was going to have a glorified
oh,
body.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So John Michael is going to have a glorified
yeah.
body, too.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
But he said, I remember he bent over and showed me, he said, I can't really walk really good now because both my legs have been broken and fractured up and down, but it's okay. They'll be all right, you know. And he pulled his pant leg up and there were nothing but scars where his legs had been broken and fractured multiple times from his hip all the way down to his feet had been broken. And so he walked a little funny, you know, he was walking a little funny. But like an innocent little boy, he wasn't having any pain. Everything had healed, but he had the scars to show for it.
Remember that dream I had about you?
The man with no legs?
You came, that you didn't have any...
The man with no legs.
Legs below your knees.
Well, I'm telling you. And yet, there was no pain, no sorrow. The most... I wish I had a better word than pristine, but the most heavenly, perfect peace you could ever imagine.
You didn't see any mountains, though.
It was only... The very first, and probably in God's eyes or timing, the very first minute of the new earth, you know, of the new creation.
And these people had survived, but they were going to perdition.
Yeah. They were probably like the ones the Lord told you thought they'd get away by hiding in underground tunnels and everything.
Oh.
Their tunnels wouldn't save them. Think that maybe they'd come out unscathed, but even though they appeared unharmed, they knew their destiny, they knew where they were going, they knew where they were being marched to, and everyone to the last man, woman, and child was really blaming God and everything and everyone else but themselves and each other, you know, just snarling, nasty dispositions, grumbling, complaining.
They wouldn't have been happy in heaven.
Oh, yeah. They had an absolute contempt.
Were there any children? He said there were children. Teenagers.
Beyond the age of reason, probably beyond 7 years old to teenagers. Mostly, a lot of adults, mostly adults.
Yeah.
And young adults. And they only got, you know, within, the closest they got to us was not even within a mile. But with our glorified heightened hearing, knowledge, vision, sight, sound, taste, everything, we could see them like you were looking at them magnified up close.
Yeah.
But in reality, they were far away.
Wow.
And they had kind of veered in slightly in our direction and were forcibly turned like a steering fence and pointed away from us at an angle. Like if we were north, they were going northwest. They started to veer north toward us, and they were the whole mass of these millions of people, by some invisible force, were curved back in and turned, corrected, steered back off to the left and away from us. And they went over the horizon. Everything was coming up beautiful right behind them, but they couldn't see it because they were so bent.
I'm blaming God.
On looking at each other, at us, at God, at the world. Everything in them was, excuse the expression, hell-bent on getting back into the world and getting just an insatiable appetite and craving for things.
Well, I know what that feels like.
Well, let that be a sweet little...
Oh, we're sobering.
But the Lord didn't bring this dream as a warning. He brought this dream as a statement of fact, and that's the way it's going to end up.